Welcome to Taste and See, a conversational podcast where we discuss what it looks like to savor and share God's goodness through home. I'm your host, Jessica Sherrill, and today I'll be talking with Lacey. She is a wife and mom who spends a lot of her time discipling college kids and encouraging women to know what the Bible says. I'm excited to talk to her today. Hi, Lacey. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Before we get started, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're coming from?
My name is Lacey Rabelais. I live in Louisiana, and I am a wife and mom to two kiddos, two boys, and we do life here. We homeschool, and we are growing a garden and raising chickens and just living life.
Okay, so I like to start by asking people, just to get a feel for you, what would you say your hostess style is? Do you have a particular bent? Are you a pizza and paper plates kind of girl, or do you like doing a big meal and full table settings and all that?
I think we're just all over the place. I don't know if I've ever been a formal. I do have my grandmother's china, and one day I will use it, but I've never had a reason to do that yet. And yeah, we will do pizza and paper plates, but we also, the kids set the table with like napkins and silverware and cups. And that's just part of, that's kind of like everyday life and just eat at the table like that.
Is hosting and hospitality something that you have always enjoyed, or is it something that has kind of grown and evolved for you over the years?
I don't think I could even honestly say right now that it's something that I would consider enjoying.
Okay.
Only because, like, I mean, I do, but I get stressed out and anxious about, in my mind, things need to be perfect and spotless, which is not true. Nobody's checking baseboards or whatever, but I do like having my friends and people over. I love cooking and I love serving others. So a lot of times, if it's like, I guess most of the time, if it's something that we can do outside in our backyard, picnic table style, I will say that's enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I just get stressed, but not to say that I don't enjoy it. And my mom, I'm not going to say that she's to blame for this. She's just really good at having, her house is always clean and there's always food and always snacks and always clean sheets. So in my mind, I need to live up to her and how she does it. And I fail miserably.
Is that something, like, looking back, can you remember, is that something that's been true of your mom even when you were a young child? Or do you think that's something that she also has grown in? And so now that she's an older woman with, I assume, no kids at home, that's something, like, that's just a different life stage for her? Or has that kind of always been her MO?
No, that's just her. And I think that, okay, like, you could ask her siblings that was just, I don't know, there's four of them, and all the grandkids now kind of joke that they're all a little OCD, and maybe that's just the way they are. But she's the oldest daughter, and I think that she just has this self-motivation, and it's amazing, and she has a servant heart and all of these things. But she's always been like that, even when it was just me, even when I was in, like, little, everything was ready.
Yeah. Okay. And did that make hospitality early on in your marriage kind of feel intimidating to you? Like that was the standard and you didn't feel up to it. Did that hold you back at all? Or was that not really a factor for you?
I don't think it was really a factor. Luckily, I guess just had friends that were really good friends, and we would just always get together at everybody's house. So I never felt like opening our home or having dinner was something that I needed to be ashamed of things. Granted, I would always make sure that the house was, like, picked up, and I might run around like a crazy person, like make vacuuming or something. But I think over the years, especially with kids, I've learned if you tidy before, you can clean after.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Because there's going to be grass and spills and all of those things.
You mentioned that you're a homeschool mom. Your boys are 9 and 6, I think you told me earlier. Is that right?
Yes.
So you're busy homeschooling them, but you're also involved in student ministry at your church. So what does hospitality look like for you in this season of life? And how, I also would be interested to hear how you involve your kids in the act of hospitality.
So for us right now, and I guess even since when they were younger and before I started volunteering for college ministry, it was play dates, mom, friends, and most of that I feel like happened during the day, like during the morning hours. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing I learned was this play date's going to go longer than you expect. So let's have lunch ready, or just like a backup plan. So, I mean, sometimes it was chicken nuggets and peanut butter and jelly, but that just makes things easier. And it also makes the other moms feel less pressure. I think that a lot of times other moms and friends have been like, oh, thank you for feeding the kids, because we were going to have to drive home. And, you know, mm-hmm. it just takes a stress off. And really, it's not like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is anything spectacular to make for someone's children, but it's just the thought, and it is very hospitable. And now mm-hmm. with the kids, now we've learned that we have to set their expectations. Like, these people are coming over, no matter if they're new or old friends. And we've discussed before, like, no one's taking your toys. No one's stealing anything. The things might get broken. That's called life. And also mm-hmm. we put away like special toys just mm-hmm. in a closet or something. And we've discussed that it's not storing up our treasures, but it is making sure that we take care of things that are more special. And sometimes it's like a lovey. We put that away just so not everybody's loving on your lovey or whatever. So let's minimize some germs. Mm-hmm. And with the college kids, I have invited my college girls to come over, and they just eat dinner with us. Like, you're just part of the family now. My kids have, you know, they help set the table. The kids eat dinner with all of us. We discuss things and have conversations, pray together. And it really gives the college girls a look into our lives, or at least to my life. And they can see that I'm just not making things up, or just telling them, oh, this is what I believe, but I don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, two things. Going back to what you said about the playdates and the peanut butter and jelly, I remember doing that so much. I mean, obviously here in Israel, we don't have the same dynamics, so I'm not able to do it as much here, but especially the first like 5 or so years of motherhood for me, where most of my mom friends were also a bunch of little kids running around. And I just remember there were a couple of friends where we were like, we're all at home all day. We're all making peanut butter and jellies at home by ourselves. Like, let's just do it at each other's house. It's more fun. Let's add the chaos and just do it all together. And it became awesome. Like a thing of, like, you know, once a week, okay, I'm bringing, you know, like kind of a raid the refrigerator. I have oranges and cheese sticks, you know, and I have bread and whatever. And we kind of just all threw it together, and our kids played, and we got to have adult conversation, and it was a good time. So I do think you do not need to overthink the whole play date idea. I think it's a really, really good way to get to know other moms and be an encouragement to them. Because for a lot of moms, that's a really lonely season of life, the little kids at home all day season. So I love that.
And popsicles. Popsicles in your freezer, because then you have an afternoon, even, or morning. But, like, I mean, in Louisiana, it's hot. And
yeah.
It's just an easy thing of, we're outside, everybody gets a popsicle, everybody's happy, maybe a little mm-hmm. sugared up, but that's, you know, it can work.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to hear more about your relationships with the college girls. And you said that they're in your house, you know, for dinner and things like that. Are there girls in your college group who have come from unbelieving homes? I would assume that there are. And have they expressed to you how it's been helpful for them to see what a Christian family just living life looks like?
So I've been doing this for probably a year. I think the three girls that I've discipled, they all come from different backgrounds, or that I am discipling. They all come from different backgrounds, some nominal, some just different beliefs. So it has, I don't know, I guess last probably November, we cooked dinner one night and two of the girls were here and they busted out laughing and were like whispering. And James and I are looking at each other like, what did we do? Are we being, creepy, or are we being weird? And they were like, we were just discussing how this is what family, they were joking with each other, like, oh, this is what a family looks like. And I don't even think that they would honestly say they came from dysfunctional families. I think that they came from either divorced families, or it's just not what they expected to see with two kids with like us in our 30s. It was just probably boringly shocking that, like, yeah, this is normal life.
So you said you've been doing this for about a year. When you started doing the ministry, student ministry, and working with the college kids and inviting them into your home, was that a weird, were there any weird hurdles for you, either mentally or just like, and that's a different dynamic from having a family or a couple over, but just having one or two college kids over. Was there anything you had to learn or work through, or did it come pretty naturally?
Oh, there are so many things. I have had to learn new language because 15 years, I'm like, I don't know what these things mean. And now we joke, like, they're like, okay, this is what it means. I have Googled acronyms multiple times because I just don't know what the shorthand of things are. But also, I felt really old. And then I'm probably the youngest person that's like discipling. I'm one of the youngest, I think. I'm the only young mom that is in the group of disciplers. But there was just a lot to for me to personally process, and things like, oh, what do I have to give or to understand? I'm not as wise as XYZ, who is also doing it. I mean, there's elders and their wives that are doing this. Like, what do I have to offer? And now you would have to pry these girls from my cold, dead hands because I love them so much. I wish that I would have started serving there sooner. I remind myself that at 19, I was married and I cannot compare my life to their life. 20 years has changed the world a lot, but it is one of the hardest things and best things I've done. It also very much encourages me to disciple my kids at home.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean by that?
Just because there's a lot of, and not just them, just college kids in general that I've heard, there's a lot of questions that they ask, and they're such good questions about, like, how did we get the Bible, or these worldview questions. But I just hope and pray that one day my children leave home with a foundation that just says that their parents discipled them well, so that whenever they do get to college, if that's where they go, that they can walk with other people instead of being confused.
So one thing that I probably should have asked or started with earlier on, because this is a word we've been using a lot. Do you have a general definition for discipleship and what that means for you and what you're doing with these girls?
Think that even in our home, there's three verses that a few years ago I was very convicted about, and it started from reading the Old Testament. And I think that discipleship comes, like, for me, can be pared down to Deuteronomy 6, where it says, teach them in the way, this is what the Lacey version, where as
Go
you
for
like
it.
lay down and to and fro as you walk about. And it's just in Deuteronomy, that was God telling the people to teach their children all the time, not just at church, not just at quiet time, but as you stand and sleep and walk, that it was important. And then Ephesians 2 is amazing, but by grace through faith. And then Romans 10:17 is faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So that just reminds me that I'm supposed to teach my children all the time that I can't save them. Only God can do that. But faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. And it's my responsibility to help them hear God's word and to know it and love it. And I look at that for my children, but if I'm going to disciple anyone, a 30-year-old, a 20-year-old, that is what I have to remember, that I can't save them and God does it all, but we got to do it all the time. And the word of God matters.
Yeah. I kind of stuck you with that on the spot, but I wasn't looking for a technical definition, more just what that looks like and what you're trying to do in your home. That's good. One other question I wanted to ask, and you've kind of touched on it a little bit, was you mentioned that hospitality is not necessarily always a super fun or easy thing for you. Sometimes it's harder. So during the times when it is harder, maybe you are tired or stressed or overwhelmed or whatever it might be, what motivates you to make time and space for welcoming people into your home and serving them in that way? Is there specific scripture outside of the ones that you just shared, obviously, or kind of a foundational truth that you remind yourself of?
So there's so many scriptures about being hospitable. And I know that I can't do it perfect, even though I want to be like on my mom's level or whoever's level. I can't, but I know that I'm supposed to, whatever I do, work at it for the Lord, which is Colossians 3. And then 1 Peter 4 says so much about grace and loving well. But verse 9 says, show hospitality with one another without grumbling. And that means show hospitality with my husband and my children without grumbling, mm-hmm. but also others. And my family motivates me to keep the house open for play dates and friends. I do really love having people over. I just, there's the stress of it. I let it get to me, and that's not right. But their accountability continues to motivate me.
So to wrap things up with something more lighthearted and fun, I like to ask my guests a couple of questions. You can answer one or all of them, whatever you like. Do you have any funny or embarrassing stories from hosting? A favorite hosting tip to share with others, or a favorite meal you like to prepare for guests, something like that?
I have plenty of embarrassing stories. I can recall one time where we were going to make fajitas. And I tried to make some meat and stuff that turned out to be a brick. One of our guests luckily owns a restaurant, which I don't know if that's embarrassing or not, but he drove 10 minutes, got some meat and saved the meal. But I was embarrassed and they all made fun of me and it was fine. And I don't really think about it.
How did that go down? Like, did everyone taste it? And then he was like, you know what? I'm going to go get dinner for all of us. Or how did that happen?
No one had like made a plate or anything. I think maybe I tasted it. We didn't have kids at all. None of us did. But I think I tasted it. James might have tasted it and was like, no, this is not okay. And generally, you know, other people will be like, oh, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. But he was like, no, this is not okay. And all of us had a wonderful relationship that, I mean, I don't even know if anybody has ever really like brought it up. This is probably, I don't know, 15 years ago. And if you have kids hosting, there's always going to be a bathroom incident somewhere. It just happens.
Okay, I'm going to give my own little tip piggybacking off of that statement, which is that you should always have a plunger in your guest toilet, like easily accessible or visible. Like, I mean, it doesn't need to be like out, you know, in the open, but if your guest went in and needed to use a plunger, like put it somewhere where they would find it if they were looking for it. Because I feel like the worst thing for a guest is for them to have to come tell you, like, hey, I need a plunger. So just save them that embarrassment and, you know, let them take care of it on their own, you know? So that's my tip.
That's really wise. That's an excellent tip. Not even for kids. I mean, like kids, adults, yes.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you just want to think ahead for your guests. You never know what's going to go down, so.
I think one of the best things about opening our home has been like seeing the kids and how they respond. And there's just one incident in our house that I had two women over. One of them is my friend with children. And another one, like she pretty much mentors us. And after they left, my oldest said, Mom, I know why y'all all are such good friends. And I asked, you know, I didn't know what he was going to say. Who knows? He was probably 6 or 7. And he just said, because you all love God. And that was just like an icing on the cake of, because we were all in our like pajamas. There was no house cleaning or anything. And I think hearing kids say that and see that, and that's not just what we preach, but what we practice. I think that that is great reason to keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought similar things about when we've had other believers in our home and we're having conversations around the table or over coffee and dessert afterwards, or even sometimes if we're, you know, if it's someone that we're close with and we could feel comfortable, you know, sometimes my husband will even, you know, ask the husband to say grace or something like that. And I think my husband has even like out loud said to the boys, like, we want you to hear other people talking about the things that we talk to you about so that they can know this is not just an us thing or something that you hear at Sunday school, but this is a thing that other believers are thinking about and talking about and learning and being encouraged by and challenging each other by. So I think that is a really valuable way for our kids to, I don't know, I guess widen their scope of what Christianity looks like and help them see that what we believe is not just here in our home. It is held dearly by so many other believers. So I think that's really, really important. I'm grateful for all your insight and thoughts. They were good and helpful, and I know that others will be encouraged as well. Lacey can be found on Instagram at LaceRab, LaceRab. And she is a fun follow. She shares book recommendations, theology, and I feel like she often has a little bit of snarky humor mixed in there, which is really my love language. So I enjoy her stuff.
You should like it. Her. See, that was kind, because most of the time people don't, or they're like, snark is horrible. And I'm not trying to be snarky rudely. But like the banter is sometimes fun.
Yes. I grew up in a home of a lot of snark, and so it's kind of a love language. Like, I think you either get it or you don't, but I enjoy it. Thank you for listening to our conversation today. I hope it encourages you to use the home you have to share the goodness of God in tangible ways. Any links, products, or recipes we mentioned, as well as social media tags, will be in the show notes below. You can also find our Instagram page for the show at Taste and See Podcast, where I share more practical hospitality tips and encouragement.